Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is Ringside Chaos. And since we just got done with the WrestleMania recap, it's time to recap the post-WrestleMania Monday Night Raw. So let's welcome back Mr. Braverman, but let's also welcome back the founder and the CEO of Pain Train Pipe Bomb Productions. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome back Ricky Winkiewicz. Gentlemen, are we ready to go?
Sure.
Why not? Let's have some fun.
Yeah. And guys, I needed you for this one because you guys have spoken so much about the Raws after WrestleMania. So you know what? We have to make it realistically going on this show because that's what this show is all about.
Yes, sir.
Ricky, we'll start with you. Well, before we go on it, you got any quick words about WrestleMania?
Night one, not exactly my cup of coffee. Notice I didn't say tea because they're going to be overseas the next month or so. And that's where a lot of tea goes, overseas. I will say night one had two bright points. I was on the verge of three after reviewing it again. I think that the ladder match, they made a mistake. I was not happy with Waller and Theory getting the SmackDown titles, if they even consider them as the SmackDown titles anymore. Right. The bright point in that was Miz and Truth winning. I was okay with that.
Of course,
then,
that's a problem it ain't.
The Rhea Ripley squash of Becky Lynch, I thought was right on point. Because Rhea is dominant and can just run with the ball for a lot longer. I think that was the right spot.
Okay.
Then we get to the main event. And I knew there was going to be shenanigans going on. I got the feel of the Attitude Era again. Although it was only from one person that just so happens to be The Rock. Whom apparently has broken every barrier known to man in the last 2 months, even including the lovely little Vegas thing. Rock telling the referee he can't count him out, he can't count this, he can't do that. Like, he said, ref, you know what, you're just going to be there for when we win, screw everybody else. That was night one.
All right.
Night two, however, I thought I broke my chair about three or four times during night two.
Oh, boy.
The Priest cash in, money. Absolute money. And still funny that even though Punk is on the injured list still, and I put that in quotation marks.
Still, yeah.
Because he royally screws McIntyre again. And I'm liking this.
I'm loving it.
But what really got me out of my chair, which is the first time I thought I broke it, was when Priest cashed in. And didn't even stay in the ring. I'm going to cash in. I'm going to hit my finisher. I'm going to run out of the ring, hang out with everybody on the stage. And then that's it. Perfect. Like, you don't have to go anything further than that. The Bubba Ray Dudley thing. Now, people, let us remind you that Bubba Ray Dudley, okay, is getting up there in age, mm-hmm. does not wrestle the same way he does or used to, even in TNA. Okay? He's not a week in, week out guy. He runs a podcast with Tommy Dreamer, okay? I do not expect him to have six-pack abs. He's going to be walking around with a keg. His face is going to be chubby. That is the original Bubba Ray Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it goddamn twisted, okay? Funny how it's that he had to get himself involved and do what he did in the what I call black on white crime. but I think Lashley and the Street Profits had to go over in that because, not for anything, Final Testament is, it's like a bad roller coaster with no wheels. That's the only way I could describe that. I know that there was other good, fun stuff after that, but when we got to the main event, now there was tons of rumors of people who were going to get involved in that main event match. Stone Cold Steve Austin was rumored in it. Cena was rumored in it. There was two or three others that were rumored in it. Undertaker was not rumored to be in that.
Right?
Which,
I think
again,
those were, actually.
For the third time where I thought I broke my chair, was just hearing the Undertaker's gong. That put me over the edge for the night. Obviously, making night two light years ahead of night one, and made me a lot prouder of what we're now deeming the Paul Triple H Levesque era. Because a lot of people, including all of those lovely little dirt sheets that said that Triple H has dropped the ball on many occasions, I disagree. I think he's been doing a fine job. But for him to put together these two nights of WrestleMania has already given the foundation for the era. All I got to say.
Well said. Well said.
I agree with almost all of it.
You know, and in my case, you know, and I said it in the recap, you know, for me, because again, it's no secret, I've been overly critical of WWE, but I loved what I saw. And in my case, I'm going to continue doing what any other true pro wrestler does. I'm going to keep loving and supporting WWE like I keep loving and supporting Ring of Honor, AEW, Impact Wrestling, or TNA Wrestling. You guys get the picture. It's like Adam Copeland said, it's a great time to be a fan of pro wrestling, and that needs to be celebrated. What WWE accomplished, that needs to be celebrated. What Ring of Honor accomplished on Friday with Mark Briscoe becoming the new champion, that needs to be celebrated. You know, the fact that here we are, three gentlemen, we've always talked about this concept of this show, that also needs to be celebrated. And here we are talking about, you know, talking wrestling, because we all love pro wrestling, but we're not just guys who love pro wrestling. We go far beyond to learning and understanding the business from certain perspectives.
Sure.
And you know, and Ricky, I've learned from you to make it this far. Same thing with you, Mark. So that's why I felt that talking about The Rock to WrestleMania, I feel like I need you geniuses of gentlemen geniuses, if that makes any sense. I needed you guys to do this. So I'm very grateful, guys. I really am. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Now, obviously, The Rock to WrestleMania is always supposed to be the wildest of the year, right?
You know,
really?
I didn't get to fully, peruse Raw tonight. And I was hoping and praying that my phone, which is going off for multiple reasons, some of them, halfway dumb, but I was waiting for the big drop on tonight's Raw, and I don't think it ever came. I don't think it ever came.
I believe Mr. Braverman, I believe you watched the entire show, correct?
I watched 3/4 of it. I was going back and forth a little bit from. I watched almost all of it, but The Mets are playing the Braves, and you can't miss that. You can't miss that war. That's been going on forever. But yeah, I watched it. I don't think the big ball was dropped, but I think that we got a clue of what to expect for the next couple of months. I think we're gonna.
Excuse me.
I think, and I'm sure Rick and Alex agree with me on this one. We're definitely going to have a big feud between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, which is going to be phenomenal. These two guys can, they can, these two guys can wrestle a bingo hall and we can sell it out. I think that Rhea is on her way to becoming a face. There's going to be some sort of Judgment Day Civil War coming, I think. I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I don't know why they keep doing this thing with R-Truth thinking he's a member of the Judgment Day. It's ridiculous. We need to get that out of the way already. That's just plain stupid. But
to me, honestly, Rhea's already a face.
I think she's becoming one. I think she's.
I think for the last few weeks, she's already been a face.
It's kind of
because
like
the crowd reaction that she gets when she comes into any arena, even on the house shows, is starting to get to the point where it's going to erupt like a volcano.
They are, but the question is, are they going to turn? Liv is such a great face. I don't think she's going to. I don't want Liv to go heel because she's not a good heel. Liv is better face, but it looks like we're going to get the Rhea Ripley Liv Morgan situation going. The problem is they both can't be face, so I'm not sure which direction they're going to go with this because face versus face never works anyway.
I mean, I think Morgan attacked Ripley backstage as she was as Mommy was ripping Dirty Dom a new one because the Judgment Day lost to the Awesome Truth and, well, John Cena. I mean, I'll be honest, it was good to see him on Raw. And, hey, Mark, I'm sure you're not feeling the same way about it, but, you know, yeah, I mean, I think now I feel like they're going to start building Liv Morgan towards a heel turn. Now, as far as where's Rhea now, I think she's in between the heel status and the face status. I forget what the particular word and terminology is when a certain talent is in between, but I believe, I think her and Priest may be headed towards that direction. Go ahead, Ricky.
Rick, go ahead.
Listen, the Judgment Day has been a big question mark since Priest has gotten the Money in the Bank briefcase.
True.
And every time somebody wants to push him to go cash in, you know, the miraculous, it never happens. That's one thing that I've kind of seen with this. And when Rhea said, you'll know when the time is right. First off, you can't have any bigger stage than WrestleMania to cash in. Okay? Now, again, like, he's had opportunities to do it on Raw. He's had opportunities to do it on pay-per-views. And, again, WrestleMania is probably, if not the brightest spot to do it. What my situation is, again, you have JD McDonagh that came in out of nowhere. Like, they added him in out of nowhere. And Priest at one point was like, why are we even bothering having this guy involved?
Right.
And you obviously know that he has a really great relationship with Finn Balor. Balor and Priest have not always been on the same page. So putting them together as a tag team to try to mask that shit is probably the reason why it's happening. If you see any split, I kind of see it this way. That you're going to have JD and Balor turn on Priest. Rhea's not going to be happy with this, and Rhea's going to go out on her own. And then you're going to probably see Dominic go out on his own if he wants to say with I can't remember his name anymore. He just wrestled with him this weekend.
Escobar.
I wouldn't mind seeing him with Escobar.
Yeah.
Because then you have another veteran within the Lucha Libre, which is, again, like Dad, that can kind of keep him covered for now. Because Dominic really does not have a way or a vision right now in Judgment Day.
True.
When can you really say the last time Dominic won a match? And mine was, my thought is NXT when he got the title.
Yeah,
that was the last time you really saw him with any prevalence.
Which is an ugly title. The NXT North American title, I would say it's uglier than the Intercontinental title.
And I don't think the women's version of it is any better either.
Come on, WWE. Make some better belts. Don't make them look like toys. Don't make them look bad. Come on.
There's going to be a lot of shakeup now. After WrestleMania is over, they can sit out new storylines. Like, I did see the main event tonight, which I might be jumping the gun a little bit, which is going to cause a bigger problem after Wednesday. The Punk-McIntyre feud is probably going to get interrupted by AEW, which will kill off CM Punk's run at this point and not make anything look good.
You talk about that story about the footage of the altercation between him and Jack.
Because Mr. Punk opened his mouth on the interviews that he did WrestleMania week about AEW and things that happened with him and Jack Perry. And now guess what? You opened your mouth. You're in a different company. You should have kept your mouth shut. Now the other company is going to fire back.
I mean, Adam Copeland kind of did.
Because that was a live promo, but now you're going to be showing live video footage of a backstage altercation. That's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, boy. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is why having Ricky on this show and Ricky being part of the creation of this program, along with Mr. Braverman, ladies and gentlemen, I pray and thank God for blessings like this. So, Ricky, once again, man, thank you, and I love you, man.
Love you too, brother.
Same thing with you, bro. And no, guys, no, y'all, we're not done yet. It's just, to me, ladies and gentlemen, Mark and Ricky are family to me. So, and because they've been a huge part of this thing, I mean, I like to thank and reward loyalty. And, guys, I am working on it.
Thank you.
But, see, at the beginning, obviously, it's going to start off with Triple H and Cody. And then that particular thing with The Rock. You see, we talk about Rhea Ripley being stuck between a heel and a face turn. Now The Rock all of a sudden is in that situation.
I don't think that The Rock is in the situation. I think that The Rock, it just needs to go away.
Well, he's going away for a little bit because he did tell Cody,
if you're not,
I'm coming back for you. And he told him, don't ever break my heart again. And he gave him something. I mean, I mean, we all know. Well, I don't know what it is, but...
Okay, first things first, I don't think that The Rock should have... With the array of talent in the locker room right now, I don't think The Rock has any business getting a shot at anybody's title. If he wants a shot at the NXT title, fine. Go after that title. If he wants a shot at I'm the biggest bitch in the WWE, fine. With the biggest ego, fine. I don't think that they should be doing Cody versus Rock. It's not a good idea.
First off, that was The Rock doing what he did was the biggest black eye WWE couldn't avoid. And I saw it last night, and I can't say that I'm a parent, but I do keep an eye on my niece and my two nephews, okay? My nephew is 8, and had to sit there and listen to The Rock curse and swear for 2 months. Now, as a parent, I'm trying, or even a guardian at that point, trying to prevent the youngins from saying those words. They're 15, 16, 18, 21. You could probably give it a pass. There's no reason for an 8-year-old to be sitting there going through that shit. That's point one. Point two, as much as The Rock going off was supposed to be to keep the crowd interested or keep the crowd with energy and stuff, yeah, it didn't exactly work out the way that they wanted to. Because then all those people who loved The Rock before now, he became a member of the board of directors, now tremendously hate. And I don't like to use that word a lot, but they tremendously now hate The Rock for what he has done since the Rumble.
He's trying to be the new Mr. McMahon, and we do not need that again.
Yes, yeah, but Mr. McMahon did not drop F-bombs.
No,
on
he did.
Live
just,
TV.
Hold on.
No, he would punish anybody who did cuss. Yeah, he would punish you if you cuss on national TV.
He did not go out. Mr. McMahon did not go out and say half of the demeaning stuff that The Rock did.
Other wrestlers
back in the day could get away with it because that was their shtick. But when you have the People's Champion saying that shit, that's where it goes off the rails. If you want to bring back Attitude Era, dropping F-bombs and demeaning cities the way he did is not the way to go.
I agree with you. I don't think The Rock should be on TV at all. I think The Rock should either be behind the stage or go back to Hollywood, like I said 100 times already. I don't like where this is going with The Rock and Cody. We don't need it. The locker room has an unbelievable array of talent right now. So many talented wrestlers are waiting to get that main event spot. Why give it to a dinosaur that nobody wants to see? Nobody.
Because it's one last big payday.
Nobody wants to see The Rock anymore. Nobody wants to see bombs anymore. Nobody wants to see this language anymore. And The Rock just needs to go away.
It is one big payday for a fucking pay-per-view. It is
okay.
One more big payday. The problem that I see is this. And I read it throughout the freaking week, last week, whether it was online in newspapers or posts on my phone. The Rock is 50 years old.
Yes, he is.
And I called it on Saturday night when The Rock was in the ring that Reigns was going to have to pull the load the entire match. The Rock was in the ring nothing longer combined for the entire length of the match, more than 9 minutes. 9 minutes. It is only one big payday to get everybody in the building. That is the only reason why he's there.
I don't want to see him on TV.
He doesn't need to be on TV. He could do backstage promos and just fucking be like a 5-minute promo. Or do his Instagram shtick.
I haven't seen him do a promo either. His time is long gone. His time is long gone. Go. Enjoy your success in Hollywood, or lack of, if you want. Enjoy doing the Fast and the Furious series. Enjoy your money. Enjoy all of your sponsors, whatever the hell you're doing. Stay the hell out of the WWE. Nobody wants him here. I don't need to see an aging Rock wrestle the champions and waiting for 3 years to get the belt.
He's not going to change. Again, the only reason why The Rock would be around is the same thing with, like, Lesnar. As much as everybody fucking hates Lesnar, okay?
Yeah, so.
He is a box office draw. And now you have events. You have now two events that are coming up. Okay? You have Backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one in Saudi. Okay? You want to put butts in the seats in France? You got to have a big name coming. The main roster is not big enough.
I can guarantee
the main roster is not big enough. Why? Because from my understanding of tonight, the only storylines they really set up is the Sami Zayn line and now the McIntyre Punk thing. That's it.
Which we'll be getting into.
That's it. You have no big storylines going into a pay-per-view that's a little less than a month away.
And then you're planning
King of the Ring in Saudi, which I think that's a load of garbage too.
And the Queen of the Ring also. I agree with you. It's not a good idea to have those. I agree with you. I don't think it's a good idea to have in Saudi Arabia. I agree with you there. But
right.
This is the problem with the bloodline story. The same problem we have with the NWO. It's just around too goddamn long. You need to kill the bloodline. Because if you kill the bloodline, we can finally start having more and more stars go after the belt instead of the same three.
Alex, I'm going to interject this in because I think this needs to be said. The bloodline's not dead.
It needs to die.
It is not dead.
It needs to die.
It will not die.
They can make the same
Do you want to know why it won't die?
Hold on one second, Ricky. Hold on. If they don't continue, if they don't kill a bloodline storyline now, you're making the same mistake that WCW did with the NWO. It's going too fucking long. The NWO is the reason why WCW died. It went too long. The WWE is on the same path of making that terrible mistake, and Triple H should know better. It is time. Bloodline, goodbye.
The bloodline should have died about a year and a half ago.
Yep, it's me.
Okay,
I agree with you. But they're making the mistake.
But now, what people don't know, I'm breaking it on this show. They signed not one, but two guys that are going to end up continuing the bloodline story without Roman Reigns being there, without Paul Heyman being around. And these are two of the biggest stars on the planet that nobody really thought was ever going to sign with WWE, and they both are.
Jacob Fatu is one of them, isn't it?
Correct.
And the other?
Just left New Japan Pro Wrestling about a month ago.
It's probably Haku's son, I think, or one of his sons.
Yep. And guess what? They are both in the bloodline family tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mistake.
They're good wrestlers.
To have somebody like Jacob Fatu on your roster brings back the memory of Umaga, first off, because he's a very big guy.
Yeah, but
he is agile as hell, and he will pull out moves people will not know.
I've seen Jacob Fatu in person at a Major League Wrestling event. The dude is incredible.
Granted, but he needs to go out on his own, not join the bloodline nonsense. Let the bloodline die and let these guys go out on their own.
I will say this, Mark. If the bloodline does stay alive, could you imagine if a few months from now Roman Reigns turns face and then he has the feud with the bloodline?
Okay. I think Reigns is taking a lengthy break.
I mean, he should. He's been, but well, I will say, Mark, I think what really, really killed the WCW as well as the final years, well, all that crap, you know, with Vince Russo putting the belt on him. But the NWO was part of it. But okay. No, I should have mentioned Cody put Reigns over in that promo because there was the thank you Roman chance. I know that we're not all big fans of Roman, but we do have to give him some credit.
Absolutely. I'm going to disagree with you. Absolutely not. You cannot give a coward praise. He had the belt for 3 years. He defended the belt less than 60 times. You cannot give a coward praise. I'm sorry, you can't. You just can't do that. They're comparing him to Hogan, to all these other champions, but they defended the belt in house shows. They defended the belt on pay-per-view. They defended the belt on TV, on Saturday Night's Main Event, all those shows. Roman Reigns is a coward. He would not put the belt on the line unless he felt like it. He's a coward. You had that belt for over 1,200 days and only defended it, 54 times?
31 times is what they said on the pay-per-view last night.
Okay, so he's a coward. There are champions who have had the belt much less than him and defended it way more than him.
You know what? Then you could say that about The Miz, too, then. But The Miz has a point.
I've never liked The Miz anyway. I thought The Miz sucked as champion.
You know what? As much as I don't like the fact that Roman had it for so long. But if you really want to say it, though, the laundry list of people he did defeat 31 times is massively impressive.
That's why you can,
that's why you can put him in the discussion of being the greatest of all time. But you can't.
That's why I'm giving him the credit as well.
He's number three on the list, or number four on the list. His name is cemented in there. When it comes down to it, if let's say he actually does retire the way they're saying, or the rumors have been saying because of the leukemia thing, he's going to be a guaranteed Hall of Famer.
Right.
Unfortunately,
I'm willing to give him a bit of the credit. I mean, I might be the biggest idiot in the world for it, but you know what? If people, you know, if I have people's attention, that's what matters to me. And, you know, I have no problem with Mark disagreeing because, as Ricky said many times, Mark, an opinion's like a what?
Everybody has one. Okay, let me ask you guys a question. Hogan, Hart, Taker, Savage, Stone Cold, Triple H, The Rock. When we talk about these names, these are all legendary runners. Roman Reigns. He has no business anywhere near any of the names, including the Undertaker. Forgot about him. He has nowhere near any business any of these men, because these men would put the title on the line any freaking time you ask them to.
You can't. I see the same thing in every other sport. Okay? And this is the problem that you run across. Okay? You can't necessarily say one is greater than the other. And here's why. Because logistically, you cannot put them against each other because it's totally different eras across the board. Roman Reigns will be listed the greatest of this generation. He can't be put in the same boat as a Bruno Sammartino. It's a different time. He can't be put in the same boat as a Bob Backlund. It's a different time. You cannot put him in the same category as The Rock. Why? Different time. This has always been the problem. Everybody says, oh, they're the next Michael Jordan. They're the next Joe Montana. They're the next Tom Brady or the next Wayne Gretzky. You cannot do that. You cannot. You could throw numbers out as much as you want in your analytics and shit. Everything is a different time, a different style, a different era. Why I don't understand you want to say that he's the greatest champion of all time. Why? Because he's eclipsed The Rock's. He's eclipsed Stone Cold. He eclipsed Bret Hart. Who gives a shit? Who honestly gives a shit? It's a bloated number.
Oh,
it is an absolutely bloated number. So if you want to list him up there with the greats, fine. But you cannot label him that because there's no way to actually truly compare him to the longevity of a Hogan or a Sammartino or a Bret Hart. The Rock, Stone Cold, the name, the list goes on and on and on. Cena held it 16 times.
Yeah,
Why would you?
I can't stand Cena.
Yeah, but you know what? Then you could turn around and say, well, maybe Cena had more days combined than Roman Reigns. 16 times you had the title.
So did Ric Flair. But the difference is, the men that you've listed, the men that we've listed, and I said this on the show 1,000 times, the men that we've listed on this show tonight and throughout the show always defended the belt. This dickless pussy never did. It is the sorriest run I've ever seen with a 3-year title. It was like Hogan and WCW. Dickless and pussy would not defend the belt unless he was forced to. That is why it's a shit run. The WWE title until now was considered the most important belt in professional wrestling. It was the iconic belt that you wanted. This dickless pussy made it a useless title. He killed this belt. And the and I pray, and I'm hoping to the wrestling, gods, Cody Rhodes will bring it back to what this belt once was, and I believe he will. Roman Reigns is a coward and a pussy. He made this belt useless. And I said this time and time again, the man never should have had the belt, number one, and never should have had it this long, number two. It was the useless run in professional wrestling. Horrible. And never should have happened.
All right. Well, I guess we can move. I guess we can go ahead and move on to the next. All I'll say is, look, at the same time, Mark, if creative management wanted like that, then you might as well rip them a new one as well, brother.
I've ripped them a new one a million times in this show, and you've heard me say it a million times.
That you have, then. And listen,
they finally grew up and realized we made a mistake. We're doing the wrong thing. The fans are sick and tired of him. Let's move on. And they did exactly the right thing.
And throughout the eras, wrestling evolves, and you have to basically understand, you know, the changes. But
kept this stalling for 3 years.
But speaking of moving on, Ricky, where do we go next?
Well, you can go over the Raw, and I could just go along with it.
Well, Ricky, since you're a big part of the show, I mean, you know, you have command as well. You've got
from what I saw the last hour of Raw, I really don't know if I was tremendously impressed.
Here's the thing, Chad Gable. I was prepared mentally, emotionally for him to turn heel. It may still happen, but it may happen next week because we saw that Sami Zayn offered him a title shot next week, and next week Raw is taking place in Montreal, Quebec, Montreal. But I got to use the accent, guys. That's me. But Zayn comes out, cuts the promo. Who's he interrupted by, guys? Imperium. So, I'm just surprised. Gunther, I mean, I don't recall anything with Gunther tonight. Do you guys?
I didn't see him at all, no.
I will go to the bat for the Gunther not making the appearance. And I think his over 600-day reign, he needs a break. Because he, first off, his transformation over the last few years, he was a very heavy guy. He was a little soggy in the midsection. His body transformation, for one, is phenomenal.
Oh, yep. No doubt about it.
But I will say that, you know what? Gunther not in the picture for tonight. Okay? And you probably see Gunther now being elevated to the next level. Don't think that he's just going to disappear. Think the fact now you've kind of run your course with the Intercontinental Championship. Now it's time to get him into the scene where everybody wanted him last year in the Royal Rumble. You now want him chasing either the SmackDown title or the World Heavyweight title. Because that's where Gunther has put himself. And he's definitely shown exactly why he belongs in WWE. He is main event talent. His stamina is off the charts.
He takes
an ultimate beating while giving his own beating.
Oh, yeah. I think this was one of the best runs with the IC title we've seen in years. I said that. Alex has said on the show, I think that he's on the list of some of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time because he defended the belt night after night. He took, like Ricky said, he took a beating. He changed his character. And I honestly believe that he's due for a world title run. And I think
he's going to. Does he turn face or does he stay heel? And why?
No, he's got to stay heel. He's got to stay heel.
He's got to stay heel.
First off, you've never seen Gunther in a face role. For one. His entire WWE run, he's never been a face. He is that big, kick-ass, foreign guy who comes in, takes names, writes them down, wipes his ass with him, and chucks him in the toilet.
I agree.
That is Gunther to a T. And if he stays heel, barring the fact that, okay, you look at which brand he's going to stay on now, because at some point they're going to have a draft.
Three weeks.
Always do it. Who says he's not on Raw anymore? So he goes to SmackDown, because now the title that Cody has is a SmackDown title.
Yep.
Why don't you throw Gunther on SmackDown? Let him work his way through the main event scene. There's guys on SmackDown he can go through. Cody's right there.
I think you're right, Rick. I think that with the draft coming up, I think that Gunther is probably going to go to SmackDown. I don't know why they're doing a draft in the same year. It's very odd for WWE to do that, but that's a whole different story. Gunther needs to stay heel, number one. Ricky, you're correct on that. And number two, more important than that, he is due for a world title run, and I think it'll be a great run. I really do. I think it's time to get away from the Imperium. I think it's time to win on his own. I think he will. And I think that it's going to be a fun ride to watch him take that run. Just knock everybody down. Body after body, and go after Cody, or go after Priest. Either way, I think that's going to be a great run. But SmackDown's more wrestler, and Raw's more storytelling. So if they want to just have him wrestle body after body, he's going to go to the Blue Brand. If they want to tell a long storyline, he's going to stay on Raw. See what they do with him. It's going to be an interesting run. It really is. And I think that in the back, Triple H knows that it's Gunther's time.
Okay.
I really do.
Vince wanted to bury Gunther. Let's not forget that. He wanted to bury him and send him back to NXT. And I strongly believe Triple H is heavily involved in making sure that didn't happen. But I got to ask you guys, as far as Sami Zayn goes, how long is he Intercontinental Champion for? Is it a lengthy reign? Is it a couple of months? Like, what are we talking here?
Depends on the draft.
We'll start with you, Mark.
It depends on the draft. It depends where he goes.
Okay.
Sami Zayn can wrestle. He can tell storylines. We've seen him on both brands. I think he's better on SmackDown than Raw because he's more of a wrestler than a storyteller. But his El Generico character told a lot of stories in Raw, which this isn't Ring of Honor. I think that he'd be better on SmackDown. He'll probably lose at SummerSlam is my guess because he's got Chad Gable next Monday. It's going to be a great match. I think that's going to be a classic. But I think that he's going to have to go to the blue side. He's a better wrestler than he is a storyteller.
Okay.
So that's Ricky? My view.
All right, Ricky?
I don't think Priest changes shows. I really don't. And here's why. Raw's roster is bigger than SmackDown's, hands down.
Sure.
And you keep Priest in with the Sharks, so to speak. That will build up his character. Because
What about Sami Zayn, though, as far as Intercontinental Champion? Is he champion for a while, or?
I think Zayn's going to hold it for a little while because the match with him and Gable will probably be phenomenal. They're two great performers.
Oh, yeah.
But now you get that breaking away from Alpha Academy, which is already started, because you don't see Otis around a lot. Maxine is on her way for that. So that branches off Alpha Academy by itself. But I think this nice guy Gable routine has kind of run its course. It's kind of so run its course.
So you see a heel turn for Gable.
So I see them have the match and then Gable go ballistic afterwards.
Right. It's possible. We've seen it,
which
we've seen
can make the storyline go for a little while. So, again, if you want to highlight that package, Friday nights is not the place to go. Monday nights is probably going to be the best spot.
Okay. All right.
You put
Go ahead.
The bigger fish needs to go to SmackDown for a little while.
Yeah.
And it has to coincide with something WWE did in the past. Okay? You took Batista off of Raw and you made SmackDown more interesting.
2005.
You can narrow down the talent that's on SmackDown to give Cody good storylines. And especially, you got the draft coming up. Now you got new signees coming. Who says the signees are going to be going to Raw?
Right?
The Bloodline was based on Thursday nights. You fill in the blanks there. As long as you don't have Solo Sikoa there, because they pretty much wasted his ass. But, again, the bigger champion in this case right now is not Damian Priest.
No, it's Cody.
It's Cody. Yep. So if you want to make SmackDown more interesting and make people tune in every week, you've got Cody Rhodes on SmackDown.
Okay.
I don't think it makes sense.
What's up, Mark?
I don't think the belts are going to switch places. I agree with Ricky on that one. Like I said, the storylines is always been Raw Sting, and pure wrestling's always been SmackDown Sting. Cody's a wrestler's wrestler. He's definitely staying on Blue. Damian Priest is more of a storyline teller. He's going to stay on. He's staying on Raw. I think that the draft's coming a little bit too early in this case. I don't think that it's time for a draft. I think two drafts in the same is a bit silly, honestly. We just had one thing was what 6-8 months ago. So that's just me. But I think a lot of the factions are going to break up. The Alpha Academy is definitely on their way out. They're becoming more and more useless as day goes by. Imperium's probably going to break up also because Gunther's probably going to go SmackDown anyway. And I think I'm going to disagree with you on this one, Ricky. The Bloodline is definitely going to split. They have to split the Bloodline. It's killing them. They said that 41% of the numbers went up in 1 week because the shows are getting better. You want to stay with that high number, you got to kill you got to cut off your biggest headache, and your biggest headache's the Bloodline. They're going to have to split them up.
But you're looking at that number when you infused The Rock and Roman together. Again, remember what I said earlier. You bring in a name for the numbers and the money.
Yeah, but do you remember, Ricky, let me take you back to when before the Attitude Era started. Before the Attitude Era started, the numbers on wrestling were pretty low, right? But then you let Austin, The Rock, and Triple H, all these new, when they were new, let them be themselves and the numbers grow. You got to do the same thing here. You have to let the younger players grow up.
Yes,
and beat
you're also team. You're also negating the fact being is that you had the crossover. And the only reason why WWE let people like The Rock and Stone Cold and all of those other guys in that spot, you're battling another company who had at the time the biggest faction in the world. WWE does not have that competition right now.
You are battling AEW right now. It's on the same night.
AEW is light years behind.
I agree.
They dropped the ball way too many times on storylines.
I'm not an AEW fan. I agree with you on that factor, but you still have to understand that this storyline is way too long. I have talked to other wrestling fans, and they've all agreed with me.
Yeah, but now you don't have Roman there anymore. You don't have The Rock there anymore. If you do infuse Jacob Fatu into the Bloodline, not only is he going to be there every week, but he's going to perform light years ahead of what Roman Reigns has been the last 6 months.
It's time for them to die.
It's unfortunate. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. The merch sales are going to go through the roof when you bring the two new guys in.
They need to go out on their own. They need to see what they can do on their own legs. Not be in this ridiculous storyline anymore. It's time for it to die. And I think with Roman losing the belt and with him going home and The Rock going home, I think that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Then you totally bypass Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa.
Jimmy Uso has shit
now, back. You've now brother. Casted him off to the fucking toy island of dementia if Good. You do that.
First of all, Jimmy had a shit match against his brother, number one. It was the worst match in WrestleMania by far.
And you notice how I didn't even mention it.
Sikoa's proven time and time again he can't do shit.
No. They dropped the ball with Sikoa. He came in as a house on fire. He won 16 matches in a row. Now you paired him up with fucking Roman, and he got put to the fucking island of outcast toys.
And what had happened? Because
this is the perfect time now to rebuild Solo.
It's the but you have to get him out of the bloodline to do that. In order for characters to build, they have to get, look what happened to Triple H when he left DX. Look what happened to The Rock when he left the Nation. They became better and bigger than they were because they got away from the groups, they got away from the organizations, which it's been timed for over a year. The bloodline must die. It is an absolute must.
All I'm telling you is, when it happens, I told you so.
And I'm telling you, it's going to be better if they go.
All right, next topic.
It's been started, guys. So before we get to the Fatal 4-Way, obviously, the NXT champion, made his appearance. I always have a hard time saying the name. Ilya Dragunov, and of course, going against Shinsuke Nakamura. Quick comments on that, guys. Ricky, we could start with you.
I'll pass on this one.
I have a feeling that at some point, if you had Dragunov on Raw tonight, the future is been predicted. He's going to end up losing the NXT title, and he's going to end up going to the main roster. I discussed this with the 8-year-old over the weekend. Again, I didn't see Stand and Deliver. Life prevented me from doing that because it was at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. When WWE wants to move a guy to the main roster, they have this big farewell match somehow. And the perfect example was Trick Williams match this weekend with Carmelo. And if Carmelo loses, guess what? It's the big send-off. He's already been on SmackDown, which means they're moving some of their higher talent up to the main roster. Dragunov's run in NXT has been a little stale as of late. They faked an injury angle to a guy who just decided to walk away from wrestling. And he had, from my understanding, some crap matches. The Trick Williams match, I thought, was kind of dry. And the only reason why it wasn't dry was because Carmelo Hayes interfered and then kicked the crap out of Trick afterwards. But I think Dragunov's run in NXT has kind of hit that stale point. And if people relate to him on Raw, the next pay-per-view that he has, he's dropping the strap. And then you'll see him more predominantly on the main roster than you will in NXT. There's been a lot of wrestlers that have been in NXT. I think Nakamura's run in NXT went a little too long. Samoa Joe, when he was in NXT, his run went a little too long.
Way too long.
But right after you scrapped them from a title, within the next month, they're on the main roster. So this might be the opening of the door of going from the minors in NXT to going to the main roster. And it's the decision of whether he's going to the National League or the American League, and that'll be determined.
All right. Well said, Ricky. And Mark, you said you have no comment?
I'm not really into NXT. I haven't been following NXT for years, so I'm gonna really pass on this one. So okay. NXT's Tuesday night's hockey night, bro. There's like 9,000 games on, so Tuesday's more hockey, so I'm going to stay away from NXT.
Well, of course, if the men's NXT champion makes an appearance, then obviously the new NXT women's champion, Roxanne Perez, is going to make an appearance as well. And she did, and she beat Indy Hartwell. And, of course, she apparently mentioned Natalya, which is obviously going to lead to a match between Roxanne and Natalya. Any comment on that, Mark?
What the hell is Natalya doing in NXT, first of all?
Mentoring.
I don't understand what the hell she's doing in NXT, number one. She's been on the main roster for forever.
Because she hasn't won a match since my last orgasm. Secondly, NXT's women's division, there are names there, but they're not marquee names.
Well, Natalya hasn't been a marquee name in years, unfortunately, but I think Natalya just needs to retire.
But you know what? There was no reason for Charlotte to go to NXT a few years ago either.
I agree with you. That
and
was just
yet, she was there. Becky was there.
Becky was there just to get Tiffany. That's why Becky was there.
No, again, for Lyra Valkyria, who is a phenomenal talent. Lyra Valkyria is phenomenal.
She is, but I think it's time for Natalya to say goodbye. She had a great run. She's been here forever. It's time for her to hang him up and start working in the backstage, or maybe even become a coach.
I see him more of a transition than anything else.
Yeah, her run's done.
Because as much as she don't want to see her wrestle half the time and hope for a wardrobe malfunction when one of her nice boobs pop out. But I hate to say it. I think it's time for her to go into the managerial role. She does have a tremendous amount of experience. And as much as I don't really fathom the fact of that challenge being thrown out there, the only way I could see it is that they're trying to see if she could perform up to a main roster level. And if she somehow shows some eyes that are on the main rosters, she's already done what she's done in NXT. She don't have to be there any longer. She could get drafted to one of the bigger brands when the draft comes up.
I don't think that Natalya needs to be in the ring anymore. Like I said, I think, as you said, Ricky, she needs to be able to be a manager, or as I said, she needs to be coaching.
She can start her wrestling school and start training wrestlers.
Absolutely. She can do exactly. Reopen the dungeon, but reopen something like the dungeon. I think it's time for her to do that. I think it's time for her to go talk to Uncle Brett and say, Uncle Brett, what should I do now? Let's open school together.
I'm not a fan of the opening the school and putting that in quotation marks. And the reason is there's just way too many. There are just way too many places out there. Like if a wrestler is not doing something, Santino Morello, for example, he's not wrestling anymore. He opened his own wrestling school.
Yeah, but he always stunk.
The Dudleys have their own wrestling school.
Yeah,
Booker T has their own wrestling school. Every time a wrestler decides, oh, I'm not going to lace up the boots, put on my tights, and go out to my theme music, that they're fucking bored out of their mind, instead of jerking off with a thumb up their ass, they open a fucking wrestling school. There's about like 8 million wrestling schools.
But the Dudley's wrestling school has been very, very successful. They've had NXT characters come out of there.
So you make Natalya something backstage. Don't just automatically say, well, her experience with Uncle Brett's going to fucking help her open a school.
I think it would, because maybe there's – I don't think there may not be room for her backstage, Ricky. You don't know, and I don't know.
Listen.
She could be a
WWE, TNA, AEW go through writers like they change their underwear every day. Do you know how many different writers did WrestleMania matches this weekend? How many matches were there?
Hold on. 14 in all.
And there was 14 different writers for each one. There's
probably
a different, there's a different backstage producer for every match that they do on Raw. Not one person does the same match twice. Put her back in a productive role. You have the performance center. Put her in the performance center. For hell, let her fucking jerk the curtain for like a fucking month or two. I meant to say Durkin, but the curtain came out better. Okay, but there's no reason for her to go away from the product.
It was
she's
just
still a lengthy face.
It was just an idea for her to do something because she should not be in a ring anymore.
Neither should Titus O'Neil, and he should be fucking thrown into a wood chipper.
There, I agree with you, but I don't think that Natalie should be in the ring anymore. I don't think Natalie should be in the ring anymore, number one. If she goes on performance center, fine, let her be a coach. I think she'll be fine there. Let her do something coaching or managerial-wise. Even if it's in the performance center, NXT, or her own school, whatever the hell she chooses to do, that's what I think she needs to understand. Your time in this industry is long gone. It really is.
She does still have a nice set of boobs, though.
I mean, Titus O'Neil, Ricky, that was, yeah, come on, that's unnecessary, brother.
The problem is this, okay? People that are not active on the rosters become ambassadors. This is the major thing. Natalya is an ambassador. Titus O'Neil, an ambassador. When Mark Henry was not wrestling, he was an ambassador. You're not going to see a lot of the big names doing it anymore. You're going to see the guys and ladies who are not prominent in the spotlight anymore. And WWE cannot get away from that. So the occasional appearance of Natalya after she's gone to some type of pet rescue rally or something like that is going to be on TV. Titus O'Neil deals with the school systems. Not on TV. You're going to be seeing him do that. These are the roles that performers are getting because they're not relevant anymore. They're not on TV anymore. And they're obviously going to stay with the company. But he still should get thrown in a wood chipper. Remember, he's the biggest mess up at a Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Obviously, that's what that's one of the things everybody talks about. But as far as Natalya goes, like, obviously, she's my hero. So now at the end of the day, I mean, you are part of Pipe Bomb Radio. So obviously, so like I said, look, she'd be a great trainer at the Performance Center. She could work backstage. So, yeah, as far as wrestling school goes, you definitely have a good point. But, you know, at the end of the day, we'll just have to see how things go. We saw that there was a video package that Sheamus is returning. I really don't have anything to say about that. I mean, I'm not sure what they can do with him at this point.
They could put him back in the main event scene again.
Probably. Any comments? Jade Cargill obviously had her first match. I think she squashed Chelsea Green. Any comments, guys?
It was necessary.
It was good to actually see her live on TV for a change, not in some plastic outfit like she was last Friday on SmackDown.
Agreed.
Because, honestly, if you get the chance to actually listen to the Busted Open radio, shout out to Bubba and the guys over there at Busted Open, because they put on an amazing show. She's 31 years old. There ain't a lot of time left in the tank. Some women can do it. Some women can't. And her signing with WWE was to put her in a more stable spot where more eyes will see her. Her run in AEW Yeah, she went, what, 60-1? That's all fine and good and all, but that company's not stable. She's now going to have a better spotlight in WWE.
I agree.
And I think they waited way too long to even get her in a match besides the Rumble and the WrestleMania match. She needed to be on TV in between. And they didn't do that.
I think it's time to start her in a run with Nia Jax. Because that's their hitting at the run. I don't know why they stopped that, because that was what they were hitting at on with Nia Jax against Jade. I think that's what, I don't know why they broke that plan off. I think that because the crowd went crazy when they put them together in the Rumble. So let's just see what you can do with her.
I would rather see her go up against an equal than somebody that's not going to perform to the standards of what people want to see. I would rather see her go on a run with Bianca. I would rather see that, because I think that in itself would be a superly great storyline. They are equal in strength. They are equal in speed. I think Bianca has a little bit of a better moveset than Jade, but that would be probably the most diesel storyline you could ever see her in.
I'm not a fan of Bianca Blair by any means necessary. I don't think she can wrestle like a moveset. I don't think she's a very good moveset at all, number one. Number two, I think that if you put her against Jade, she might be a good dancing partner. I think it would be okay, but the problem is they're both face right now.
And
so face versus face doesn't work.
All right.
Bianca Blair's popularity is going down, so they might have thrown her anyway. So we'll see. But
all right. Are we ready for the main event, guys?
Okay.
Well, Fatal 4-Way, well, it started obviously with Drew McIntyre cutting the promo. But, when Drew McIntyre referring to Damian Priest as a, what was it, quote, a bondage undertaker. that was pretty funny. Now, obviously, Drew McIntyre basically said, CM Punk, I'm not done with you, and so obviously we all know where that's going, but then we got McIntyre versus Bronson Reed, who won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, going against Jey Uso and Ricochet.
Just off the top, when I heard this was happening, I was like, who threw up in a bucket and turned it over and got this?
I think this is why I'm mostly speechless, right?
I'm going to break it down maybe so that like I can try to still even understand it myself, okay?
This is why we need you on the show more often, Ricky.
Bronson Reed won the now irrelevant Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal on SmackDown last week, which was a main event staple on WrestleMania for 3 years.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden it's not important anymore. So him, yeah, okay. McIntyre trying to fight for a rematch, that's a load of crap, because he should have just had an automatic rematch and not had to worry about wrestling in a Fatal 4-Way for a rematch for his 5-minute and 46-second title reign. Jey Uso has had way too many main event matches where he's lost, regardless of whether it was Jimmy or Solo or any of them. Where in God's green earth does Ricochet fall into this? He hasn't been relevant. We're not pushing him anymore. Oh, wait, we need a beat-up dummy to throw in the match. Yeah, let's throw Ricochet in there. That works out fine when there's other people on the roster that should have been in his spot. again, like it's a pile of throw up. Where somebody's had rice and beans, lasagna, a burrito, corned beef, pastrami. Like, can we get some better fucking food in this matchup, please? Again, I don't know who decided that this fatal four-way is a great idea. You chumped out Bronson Reed. McIntyre is going to get picked on by CM Punk. Ricochet kills himself flipping off the top rope.
That was a great move, by the way. That was phenomenal. But that spot was phenomenal, by the way.
And he hurt himself on top of it because he didn't make the total table
move.
I don't know. Like this match was a fucking train wreck waiting to happen. To me, personally.
Okay, you know how I feel, but you know how I feel about Fatal Four Ways. I've never liked them from the beginning. I don't like four men in the ring at all. For that matter, ever. The only thing in Sandberg is shaping in is that you need somebody to take the pin. And that's why he was there, obviously. You knew the second it was announced he was going to take the pin. I thought that the move that he did was spectacular, number one, because I couldn't do that if I wanted to. Neither could anybody else.
If I pushed you, you would.
What?
If I pushed you, you would.
You know I can't flip over. But,
it doesn't matter. If I push you from the top, you'll flip. Anyway, go ahead.
But, thank you for that. But
you're welcome.
I don't enjoy Fatal Four Ways at all. I don't like them, and I think it was a waste of three talented men. I really do. But Drew McIntyre's speech was fine. But I agree with you there, Ricky. Back in the day, it would have been automatic rematch. So hopefully, we're gonna have. It used to be in my contract that I have an automatic rematch if I lose. So there it is, which he did. I think that we're going to have an amazing run against CM Punk. They're both phenomenal storytellers. They can both go. Bronson Reed, I don't know what the hell they're going to do with him anymore because, well, he's Bronson Reed. And Ricochet was just there to take the pinfall. Just do one amazing jump and just take the pinfall. And that's really it. I didn't enjoy the main event at all, honestly. I thought it was, like you said, Rick, I thought it was 10 minutes of garbage. But that has always been a fatal flaw. The only one I've ever seen that I was liked was the No Way Out pay-per-view with Hulk when Austin took on Triple H in the 2 out of 3. They had a fatal flaw with four really talented guys. That actually worked. I think it was Benoit, X-Pac, Jericho, and I think Eddie Guerrero was in there. So you had four really good wrestlers in that one. You didn't have that talent in this match. You had three. You had two very good wrestlers, and one jobber, and that's pretty much what I thought about this.
I can't even agree on that one because the only one that I really think meant anything in this match was McIntyre.
Would be surprising. You don't think Jey Uso the match?
Because again, Jey Uso being in there is a crowd pop.
But you need that crowd.
He's not. Yeah, I understand you need the crowd pop, but he's not even in the top 15 on Raw's roster. Ricochet's not even in the top 25 of the
Ricochet's
roster.
Ricochet's in the top 50 on anybody's roster, first of all.
First off, they've watered him down worse than a fucking drink at a bar.
That's
and
true.
Ricochet should have came in like a house of fire, same way Bronson Reed did, and they've done nothing with them. Nothing.
I think that one of these two guys has to pull a Cody Rhodes. Quit the company, go to the independents, make a name there, and then come back with something better and bigger.
Ricochet's not going to be able to do that. That flame is burned out long time ago.
We never thought that dashing Cody Rhodes or anything, and now he's the biggest name in the company. So
Ricochet's been around for way too long.
He has, but if maybe he leaves the company a little bit, maybe he does something else. Maybe he goes to a new. Maybe he'll switch over in the draft. I think he needs to get the hell off Raw first of all. I don't think he belongs on Raw.
He really belongs back in NXT.
Maybe that's what I was about to say. Maybe they send him to NXT a little bit, or maybe he just leaves the company. Who the hell knows?
Becomes a freelancer, works in Japan, works in Mexico. I'm sure that would work out for him.
I think these are.
Maybe appear at Ring of Honor or the National Wrestling Alliance.
I think that'd be the best thing for him. Ring of Honor is owned by AEW now, so I don't know, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, if he's a freelancer, if he does what Mustafa Ali is doing, same thing with Nick Nemeth, I'm sure it would work out great. Because, look, it's sad that Ricochet has become irrelevant, because Ricochet is a hell of a talent.
He is.
But this whole thing, again, the Fatal 4-Way, now, if Drew McIntyre had won it, then, it would only make sense if he did win it. But, you know, even though he should... Like I said, the automatic rematch, if he wins the Fatal 4-Way, it kind of helps him elevate himself back up to kind of, you know, like that. It would have made sense in a creative direction. But I think based on what we've said so far, it kind of seems that the Raw after WrestleMania this year was maybe, I think it may have failed to live up to the potential hype. Unless I'm a complete idiot.
They had the pop. They started off great when they brought out Cody Rhodes. His speech was incredible. With The Rock coming out, I don't think that helped. That didn't help at all. And then you slowly started to have a slow death. And it pretty much, the Fatal 4-Way was what was the nail in the coffin. This was not the same Raw that it was after WrestleMania 15, 18, hell, even 17. I didn't like the WrestleMania at all. Even, you know, 2020, whatever you want to say, this was not that kind of a show.
We're up to WrestleMania 29, Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler 29, 30 with 30 Bryan Danielson, or any one of those. Even 20 with Benoit and Grillman, they both rest in peace. 18 with the Hogan thing. You didn't have that. You didn't have that moment where everybody was like, they're gonna take us in a new direction. You didn't have that tonight. And I think that's something that we need to have. Hopefully we'll get it soon.
Ricky?
I kind of agree with Mark on there was no real big what to do on Raw tonight. I think that they needed to do a bigger pop. There's people that they've looked at, they've signed. Like, I hate to say it, like, as much as everybody probably hates the fact that you have people in the pipeline, like Julia is now going to be signing with them after she finished up all of her indie dates. That would have been a nice pop. You just have somebody different and brand new that a lot of the fans know to make an appearance. I didn't say anybody famous like Snoop or any of them, but they needed to have like another brand new face there that nobody would expect to show up. Or they have a big pop from, I mean, they brought up Dragunov, but I don't think he was a big enough draw for anybody to shake a freaking tail at.
No,
but if you made some major splash like they did on SmackDown with Braun Breaker and like do something like that, like you got to keep the fans interested. You give me the same old dried up tortilla with overcooked freaking refried beans, I ain't gonna be happy.
What is this, Taco Bell?
I'm just in the mood. But if there's no big pop, no like big show up, then it's just another ordinary Monday Night Raw.
It was. Let me ask you guys a question though. I'm hearing that MJF is signing with the WWE. Is that true? Or is that bullshit? Ricky?
Honestly, I think it's a load of crap.
Particular thing I can say, it's called fake news.
The only reason why I say it's a bunch of crap is if you've watched AEW the way I have, after a while of them not saying the battle of 2024 disappeared. When he became champion for 3 months, you didn't hear it anymore. Now all of a sudden he's pretty much beat up his shit. He did what he had to do for the matches that he did when having the title until December, and he just disappeared. But the battle of 2024 disappeared along with it. which I'm going to probably say that there was some type of maybe handshake agreement. Maybe there was an extension at some point, and that's why they stopped using the Battle of 2024. And that's why you're not going to see him there. Because if you wanted to see him there already, it would have been there already.
It would have been there already.
I think so, but it's just a conversation I heard. Like I said, I don't watch AEW, so I don't know. I have no idea what the hell is going on there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but I think
And let me just say this. If anybody's offended by what Ricky said about Titus and Natty, let me remind everybody, Jim Cornette says far worse things, so.
Yes, he does.
I kept it to a minimum.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Bischoff say bad things too, right?
You know, and I'm a future TikTok broadcaster, so, you know, I got to practice.
I said a couple of bad things myself, but you know what? This is what the show is, guys.
You know, at the same time, Vitaly is one of my heroes, so you know what? Like I said, it's a wrestling podcast. I mean, those other guys out there, the guy with supposedly the best in the world, Jim Cornette, I mean, hey, he's said bad things, so yeah, but I had to clear that because if some viewers get unhappy about it, I'm like, guys, some people out there say worse things, so if you're mad about that, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, this Raw was pretty much just that. I mean, it started off good, but overall, just like any other Raw after WrestleMania.
I want to put this out there. I think the problem is the show's too long. I think they need to cut the third hour. If they cut the third hour, this would have been a much better show.
You want to know why it would have been a better show? Give me a better lineup. And I'll stay interested.
I agree with you. They need to. I've been saying this for the past 5 years.
Was there an appearance by Seth Rollins on Raw tonight?
No.
Not that I know of.
There's one spot right there. Okay. Granted, yeah, you have McIntyre talking crap with CM Punk. Obviously, it's a carryover from WrestleMania and before WrestleMania, whatever. Okay, you gave me something interesting there.
You didn't see Becky Lynch either, and honestly, I think that, look, Ricky, you and I have had the same injury that Seth Rollins had. You know how painful this is on him. But you and I played hockey with this thing, so honestly, I think that Seth Rollins is on his way to get surgery and to get rehabbed on that leg. We may not see him for months, and I
don't want to use the injury angle as a fucking excuse. I'm sorry. That is a lame excuse to not have him on the show.
I think they're going to write him off, though, bro.
He showed up as the Shield in night two after he went through the war with McIntyre and the main event.
But
he could show face.
I think that was his last hurrah for a while. I really do.
He could have still showed face, got the sympathy from the crowd, and you've got to pop. That was your main guy since, what, August of last year? Running around with that title, that's a big drop of the ball.
But
you don't have your names there, you are going to have a Limp Bizkit card. That's exactly what they had.
I agree with you, but I think that he's resting his knee. You and I had the same injury, Rick. I've had it twice.
Then explain to me how he shows up after he blew his knee out in a big fucking leg brace on Raw after he injured it.
Because he was the champion. Now that he doesn't have the belt anymore,
champion or no champion, you are the face of the fucking brand. You show your gimpy, broken back ass up on fucking Raw, get your sympathy pop, and hobble to the back. Tell me that's not, you don't throw that in there to get the pop on the show.
I agree with you, but I think they might have given him the night off. I don't know why he wasn't there. I'm just guessing from the top of my head. I think that they gave him the night off.
But the show is better if he's there.
Did it hurt the show? Yes, I agree with you that it hurt the show. But I think they gave him the night. I think that they're letting him rest that bad knee. I really do.
All right, well, guys, I think we've covered all the bases. Before I close it out, Ricky, you want to give it down a little Pipe Bomb Radio rundown?
No, it's a tired old shtick for now.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I would strongly recommend that you check out Pipe Bomb Radio New York City. You should also check out Pipe Bomb Metallic, because Pipe Bomb Metallic is such a wonderful work of art.
It is.
It's also always fun going back to re-listening to the episodes. So check out Pipe Bomb Radio New York City, available anywhere you get your podcasts. Same thing with Pipe Bomb Metallic. You can also check out the YouTube channel with some very amazing bowling videos made by, of course, Ricky, the Master of Mayhem. You can find this show, Ringside Chaos, also anywhere you get your podcasts. So here's what Ricky, Mark, and I need everybody to do. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell, because we want to be sure you won't be missing out on any exciting upcoming content. Gentlemen, once again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for staying up this late to record this episode with me. Guys, I appreciate it, and I cannot wait to do it again.
Anytime, bro. Anytime.
It's a pleasure being here.
The love.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night, and we'll see y'all next time.